All right, Psalm 28. I'm just going to read the first couple verses here. O Lord, you are my rock of safety. Please help me. Don't refuse to answer me. For if you are silent, I might as well give up and die. Listen to my prayer for mercy as I cry out to you for help, as I lift my hands towards your holy sanctuary. It's a prayer for help. Somebody crying out. Psalm 57, and the first few verses there say, have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until this violent storm is past. I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. He will send help from heaven to save me, rescuing me from those who are out to get me. My God will send forth his unfailing love and faithfulness. I am surrounded by fierce lions who greedily devour human prey, whose teeth pierce like spears and arrows, and whose tongues cut like swords. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. So there's one who's crying out for God to have mercy. If you jump forward to Psalm 77, this one says, the first few verses, I cry out to God without holding back. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was in deep trouble, I searched for the Lord all night long. I pray with hands lifted towards heaven, pleading. There can be no joy for me until he acts. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. You don't let me sleep. I am too distressed even to pray. I think of the good old days, long since ended, when my nights were filled with joyful songs. I search my soul and think about how the difference now. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he ever again show me favor? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be kind? Has he slammed the door on his compassion? So here's someone who's struggling so bad. They're wondering, what's happening? Has God forgotten me? Is God angry at me? Does he even love me anymore? Well, and it's cool that this kind of intimacy has been kept in Scripture so that, I mean, you can, it doesn't matter what you're feeling. You can have doubts, you can have worries, you can have struggles with whatever, and you can take it straight to God. And I love that the Psalms show us that. Psalm 88 is a great one. O Lord, the God of my salvation, I have cried out to you today, day and night. Now hear my prayer, listen to my cry, for my life is full of trouble and death draws near. I have been dismissed as one who is dead, like a strong man with no strength left. They have abandoned me to death, and I am as good as dead. I am forgotten, cut off from your care. You have thrust me down to the lowest pit, into the darkest depth. Your anger lies heavy on me. Wave after wave engulfs me. You have caused my friends to loathe me. You have sent them all day. I am in a trap with no way of escape. My eyes are blinded by my tears. Each day I beg for your help, O Lord. I lift my pleading hands to you for mercy. Of what use to the dead are your miracles? Do the dead get up and praise you? Can those in the grave declare your unfailing love? In the place of destruction, can they proclaim your faithfulness? Can the darkness speak of your miracles? Can anyone in the land of forgetfulness talk about your righteousness? Oh, Lord, I cry out to you. I will keep on pleading day by day. Oh, Lord, why do you reject me? Why do you turn your face away from me? I have been sickly and close to death since my youth. I stand helpless and desperate before your terrors. Your fierce anger has overwhelmed me. Your terrors have cut me off. They swirl around me like the floodwaters all day long. They have encircled me completely. You have taken away my companions and loved ones. Only darkness remains. Talk about despair. Yeah. That's the depth. And I don't know if I've ever felt that full of desperation, but I know people who have. I've got friends who have dealt with that kind of depression. And it is tough. It's hard when you get there. Psalm 119, verse 145. I cried out with all my heart, answer me, O Lord. I will obey your principles. I cry out to you, save me, that I may obey your decrees. I rise early before the sun is up. I cry out for help and put my hope in your words. I stay awake through the night, thinking about your promises. In your faithful love, O Lord, hear my cry, and your justice save my life. So here's someone kind of throwing themselves in the mercy of the court almost, saying, God, answer me. I will obey you. If you jump ahead to Psalm 142. I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before Him and tell Him all my troubles. For I am overwhelmed, and You alone know the way I should turn. Wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. I look for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. Then I pray to You, O Lord. I say, You are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. Hear my cry, for I am very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring my soul out of prison, so that I may give thanks to Your name. The righteous will surround me, for You will deal bountifully with me. So there's plenty of different attitudes going through here. There's people with deep desperation, people who believe that God will turn to them if they pray, and people who are looking to kind of turn back to God. There's all sorts of attitudes in all sorts of places here. It's sometimes hard to imagine that these are songs, that these were songs that they sang in worship times. And I mean, I've heard country music that is always depressed, and I've heard blues music, which is always talking about how tough life can be. But I've never heard anything so desperate as the Psalms, so crying out for help from God, and so intimately passionate about their need for help. Again, I'm just thankful that we can have that to identify with others who are going through this and realize that it's okay to struggle. It's okay to go to God with this kind of stuff. I think sometimes people get the idea that in order to be a Christian, your whole life has to be in order. Everything has to be figured out and perfect before you can come to God. I think some people really believe that the only way to feel welcomed by Christians or churches is to kind of stuff all your true feelings down inside, put on a happy face, and kind of pretend that everything's okay. And, you know, that's absolutely the wrong idea. We shouldn't have to hide our problems. We shouldn't have to hide the struggles that we go through. I think sometimes even Christians get to the point where they think, you know, if you're a true believer, nothing should be wrong with your life. You shouldn't have problems at home. You shouldn't have problems at work. You shouldn't have emotional struggles. There should be nothing wrong in your life. And if there is, then you don't have enough faith. And I'm afraid that there's a lot of Christians that kind of think that way. And if somebody kind of exposes themselves and says, I'm really struggling here, they look down on them. They say, well, you're not as good as I am. Even though I'm struggling, but I'm not going to tell you about it. And so I hope that we never become a church like that.
Amen.
I hope that we never have that kind of attitude towards other people. I don't want any of us to portray that feeling to people who walk in these doors looking for salvation, looking for somebody to rescue them, looking for help through some problem that they're dealing with. I don't want people to have to come to church and put on a facade and kind of stuff their feelings down inside and kind of muscle through a service or something that we're doing at church, just waiting for it to be over so they can go home or go anywhere and be themselves. I want us to feel free to be ourselves in church. And as brothers and sisters, we ought to be able to support each other through the problem. I want this to be a place where sinners can come and bear their souls and find healing and find hope. And receive love. I want the lost to find direction here. I want the broken to be healed. And we can't do that unless our doors are open to people who are desperate. I want this to a place where all of us can find support when we're weak and encouragement when we're just down and out. A church that only accepts perfect people. It's like a hospital that only accepts the healthy. So it doesn't make any sense for us to think that we should all look perfect and not accept anybody who isn't. And when times are good for us, when things are great, we should be ready to help others in need. When we need to fall into somebody's arms, we should be able to count on our brothers and sisters here to help us out, to help us carry those burdens, to make them lighter between all of us. And when things are going great, we should be ready to catch somebody else. How often did Jesus talk about helping those kind of people? all the time he's talking about the widows and the orphans and the prisoners and the weak and the poor. Telling us, you need to take care of these people. I have compassion for these people, and you need to help out with their lives. You need to get them out of the situation they're in. I sometimes wonder if the sign in our driveway shouldn't be two-sided, so that whether you're coming or going, it says you are now entering your mission field. Because I hope this church will be a place that will draw the broken, that will pull in the sick and the weak and the sinners and the lost. I hope that as the body of Christ, that we're prepared to reach out to people inside and outside of our church who need help, and people who are involved in church or not, that we can make that kind of a sacrifice to change lives. I think that's the one reason, and it's kind of historic that I've read, that in Rome, where the church was persecuted in ancient Rome, and Christians were slaughtered. They threw Christians to the lions in the Colosseum. You've heard about that. When Nero was emperor, and I think some other Caesars, they would torture Christians in every way they could think of. They would cover them with tar and put them on poles and light them on fire to light their parties at night. I mean, Christians were despised by the Roman government and by lots of Romans. But the faith exploded in Rome. It spread like wildfire. And I think, historically, the reason is because Christians were out there helping people who needed help. And it didn't matter how hard they were persecuted. They were out there to give their lives to serve whoever needed to be served. And that changed people. When people come to church who aren't involved with God, when people come to church who haven't found the Lord yet, they're looking for something to help them. They're looking for an answer to a need inside. They don't want just somebody to just kind of preach at them. They want somebody to help them with what they're struggling with. They have non-Christians. They'll ask you, what can God do for me? How can God help me? Because empty religion isn't going to serve them. The truth is that God cares about our sufferings. He cares deeply about what we go through. Jesus Christ experienced that. He personally went through the struggles and the temptations and the hardships of life. And I believe with all my heart that God listens when we cry out to Him. That He not only listens, but He has compassion when we cry out to Him. A couple other types of psalms. Back in Psalm 34. Psalm 34, if you jump down to verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their trouble. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. I love that part where it says the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. When you are down, God is there. God cares about what you're going through. Psalm 55, jump down to verse 16. As for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will complain and murmur, and He will hear my voice. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me. So here's someone that's calling out to God all the time, and he knows God will save him when he calls out to God. 147, Psalm 147. Verse number 3, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So it's just little messages that show how much God cares and that He wants to heal and wants to help. And what a blessing that we serve a God who really does care, that we have a God that we matter to. I couldn't imagine life as a non-Christian of any sort, because who do you call out to? Where do you get help from? Nobody cares about you. I mean, you think about it. What does your life matter? And so many other religions where it's kind of a crapshoot with God. Maybe He'll care for me if I do good enough, but if I don't, He won't care about me at all. But isn't it great to know that we have a God that cares about you no matter what you're struggling through, no matter what you're facing? There are always people who will try to give you a reason for your struggles. And sometimes it bothers me a little bit, but they'll always try to explain what's going on. Maybe they think that God is trying to teach you a lesson, Or maybe they think that God is just preparing you for something else. I hate that when you go through a struggle and they say, God is getting you ready for something, because I wonder, well, what's the next thing going to be? Because there's always something else coming. And if it's just going to get worse and worse, I'd rather not. and then the people say God is punishing you for something you did. And my youngest aunt, her name was Karen, was killed by a drunk driver when I was a really little kid. She was a nurse in Rochelle, and she was on her way home from work one day, and she got front-ended by a drunk guy, and this was back before seatbelts were common at all, and she was thrown through the windshield and died there. And someone told my grandma, well, God just wanted her home. And my grandma was really upset about that, because if God wanted somebody home, he doesn't have to smash their head through a windshield. That's ridiculous. So it kind of bothers me when people try to give you explanations for what you're going through and not just sit by yourself. You think about Job. Man, I feel sorry for Job and his friends. I mean, the horrendous suffering that he went through. And basically, because God was showing him off, to showing how what a great guy he was, and that he could stand up to it. And when I think about that, you know, when I think that God talked to Satan and said, consider my servant Job, I'm kind of happy just playing a small role in God's kingdom, because I don't need to go through that kind of example. But Job's friends and even his wife kept giving him these stupid reasons, just making stuff up that you know, it's your fault because you did something wrong, or maybe you're not praying hard enough. And his wife kind of lost it and said, why don't you just curse God and die? I'm sick of this sort of stuff. And it's interesting to note that through all the anguish, I mean, Job is over and over calling out to God, God, what's going on? What's happening? Why are you doing this? And God never really explains to Job why he's going through what he's going through. He never says, well, sorry about that, Job, but I wanted to use you as a good example to teach other people. Or, well, Job, something about you just ticked me off, so I let you have it. And sometimes when we go through struggles, I wish I'd give any sort of an answer, even if it's one like that. But there are times when we're not going to get the answers to those questions. There are times when we face those struggles, and they just happen, and we don't get the explanation. But the cool thing is when God said, I'm God and you're not, so don't worry about how I'm running my universe. You just do your job at worshiping. And the cool thing about Job is he humbly repented of his attitude and went on worshiping God, and God blessed him. Gave him twice as much as he started off with. And it's such a cool story that Job was that kind of a man to turn to God. And so it's okay to struggle and not get answers. It's okay to cry out and wonder where God is at. And I suggest to keep crying out when you need to. I think God even tells us to cry out. He told Joel, in the book of Joel, that when the day of the Lord came and lots of bad things were happening, he told Joel to cry out. The first chapter and verse 13 through 15. Gird yourselves with sackcloth and lament, O priests. Wail, O ministers at the altar. Come spend the night in sackcloth, O ministers of my God. For the grain offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is near, and it will come as destruction from the Almighty. So I think that's an instruction from God. You know, you need to cry out when you're not prepared for God to come. You need to be ready to turn to Him in repentance and say, God, please forgive me, be with us, help us to do right. David wrote a song in 1 Chronicles 16:35, and I'll just read this one. It says, cry out, save us, O God, of our salvation. Gather and rescue us from among the nations so we can thank your holy name and rejoice and praise you. So there's another place where David's telling people to cry out through a song. And the Israelites said in 2 Chronicles in chapter 20, it says, whenever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, disease, or famine, we can come and stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you, save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. So when the temple was built, they knew that they could go there and cry out to God. It was a place they could meet God. So Don't feel the need to pretend. Don't feel like this church will ever be a place that you just need to grin and bear it. Let this church be a place where we can all make one another's burdens lighter and help each other through stuff. And God warns people to not take advantage of others because they'll cry out. I won't read them, but Exodus 22, Deuteronomy 24, Psalm 72, all have places where God says, don't persecute people, don't take advantage of people, poor people and whoever, because if they cry out to me, I'm coming after you. Because God cares about people. Amen. So not only can you cry out, but remember, others can cry out too. So we need to be taking care of everybody. And I think it's pretty clear that God is the one we should cry out to. And it's pointless just to cry out to nobody. And I think in Judges chapter 10, it kind of points that out. And I won't read that one, but it's a place where God is almost mocking the people because they've turned away from him. And he's saying, you've been doing all this bad stuff. Why don't you cry out to these gods that you've made? Why don't you cry out to your idols and see how much they help you? So it's great to have a good God that cares about us, that we can cry out to. I like how Jesus put it in Matthew chapter 11, and I'll read this. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke fits perfectly, and my burden is light. That's so good to know. That's so good to know. One caveat is that you need to make sure that you have the right attitude. This doesn't mean that you don't have faith and you just cry out whatever you want. I think Psalm 22, and you can read this on your own sometime, it's kind of interesting that Psalm 23 is all about God being our shepherd and life being great and goodness and mercy chasing you your whole life and how wonderful it is. Psalm 22, right before it, it's such a lament. It's words that Jesus Christ used hanging on the cross. It starts out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it goes through and talks about how horrible life is, and there's a lot of prophecy about what Christ went through, about him, the torture that he faced. And it goes on through that lament, and then it starts talking about parts where it says, but you know what? I still trust you, God. I still put my faith in you. I still know that you're there. And as I'm crying out to you in my pain, I know that you're hearing this, and I know that I can trust you. And I'm going to go on trusting you, and that I will end up in everlasting joy. I will come to a point where all of this becomes worth it. I know that this is the right path to take. And it's kind of cool that Psalm 22 is such a good example of how our attitude should be when we're crying out to the Lord for help. So you can certainly call upon God with anything that's in your heart. You don't have to have your life put together. You don't have to be in a perfect situation to have a relationship with God. Jesus himself said it. In Mark chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call sinners, not those who think they are already good enough. I heard a great story about one of Greg Steer's uncles. I don't know if you know who Greg Steer is. He's a guy who runs Dare to Share Ministries. It's for teens to learn how to evangelize. But he tells a story about his uncle all his uncles were mean, nasty kind of guys. And this uncle happened to get into a fight outside of a bar over something really stupid. And he was a big, strong guy, and he wailed on this other person, and he beat him up so bad that his heart stopped. He killed the man. And the police came, and they arrested his uncle and put him in the car. And as he's getting in the car and the rage is kind of going away, he realizes what he's done. I've just killed a man. I'm going to go to jail for the rest of my life. This is horrible. And he prays, God, if you will save that man's life, I will turn to you. I'll become a Christian. And sure enough, they get the man to the hospital and they revive him and he survives. And Greg's uncle becomes a dedicated Christian and evangelist and goes out and wins more people for Jesus. And it's such a, you do not have to have your life in order to have a relationship with God. God can fix you no matter what condition you're in. Go to God. Cry out to him. If you remember this dad at the beginning of tonight who was carrying his son in the rain, and it started to pour and thunder and lightning, and his skin is screaming. And it's just a little baby. So this little baby doesn't understand what's going on. This little baby only understands that there's noise and wetness and flashes of light, and this baby is frightened, and that's all it understands. And he has no idea that his dad would do anything to protect his child. His dad would do whatever it takes to get his son home. And so what he does is he stops and he takes his son out of the backpack and clutches him to his chest and kind of covers him with his body. And as he's walking the last mile to get home, he keeps repeating over and over and over, "I love you, buddy. We're going to make it. Daddy knows the way." He understands his son can't comprehend the language yet, but he keeps repeating that. "Daddy knows the way. We're going to make it. I love you." And I love Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 31. It says, God is talking to his people, and it says, "In the wilderness you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way, and you went until you reached this place." We might not understand some of the things we go through. Like that little baby, we might see the flashes of lightning and hear the thunder and feel the wetness and be scared for our lives and desperate and not know what's going to go on. But all along the way, God is clutching us close to him. God is watching after us. God cares about us. And I'd like to finish tonight with a blessing that the Father said and the words that he whispered to his own son. I'm just going to read it here. It says, "May you, when you're soaking wet, lost, hurting, and confused, may you cry out, and may the Creator of the universe take you out of your pack. May he hold you tight against his chest. May he wrap his eternal loving arms around you. And may you hear him whisper, 'I love you, buddy. We're going to make it. Dad knows the way. We're going to make it. I love you.'" Let's pray. God, thanks so much that you do care about us, that we matter to you in our messiness, in our struggling, in our desperateness, in our fear, in our anger, in our doubt, God. Thank you so much that you love us no matter what we bring to you, no matter what we come to you with, no matter what state we've gotten our lives into. Our lives matter to you, and you want to save us. You want to hold us close and see us through whatever we're struggling with, God. Lord, I pray that you would help this church to be that kind of a place where people can come and find hope in you and find healing and find restoration and recovery and new life. God, be with us who are already a part of this church and help us to be the kind of people who will share our burdens and accept those of others and be really a family of brothers and sisters who help one another. God, we ask for your blessings, we ask for your protection, and we ask for you to send us more people we can love. Help us to be those kind of people and make a difference for you. In your name we pray, Jesus.